Blog Talk Radio.
I get wings to fly. Oh, I'm alive.
Good morning, and welcome to Messages of Light. I am so honored to have my special guest today, Maria Toso from Minnesota. I'm so excited. She's invented a new coaching method, it looks like, a new yoga method since I've been on. I had a great time this weekend. I went to a fair, got acquainted with some people, and it was very fun. So I'm still running my three questions for $15. You can email starguidereadings@gmail.com. You can check out my page, starwea.co. My friend Maria here, who we're going to talk to and tag team second half of the show to answer your questions, her website is healwhathurts.me. But you can type in Maria, M-A-R-I-A-T-O-S-O, and look for a spiritual coach. She's very good. I'm excited to have her on today. She's from Copenhagen, Denmark, and when she was 17, she experienced some human pain when her dad suddenly died, and meditation and yoga practice changed this. And she says, like, with diet and lifestyle, after simple lifestyle changes, yoga, prayer, breath work, she's witnessed that there's been, like, inner light in teaching, and this is how she works. She doesn't want anyone to become dependent on outer guidance, because we can lead you the way, but it's important to kind of do your own work. Maria is also the founder of the Heal What Hurts method, which is a yoga method for releasing negative, I'm assuming that's energies, or, you know, like in yoga terms. She can correct me on that. Her method was born out of her own persistent struggle to overcome emotional reactions seemingly triggered in close relationships. I love that, because so many people go through that, the anger and the emotions and everything, and she works with a meditative capacity for presence and breath awareness, and she located where her emotional triggers laid, and it was like hidden frozen energy knots in the energy field. And what she learned was to continue that practice of the Heal What Hurts method. And that's what you can do, is really locate that negativity and energy patterns that play out in painful circumstances. And what she learned is these are silenced with shame or numbing agents, and then they flare up, and then we react, and boy, I need to come check this stuff out. This sounds really cool. I may have to go on a road trip or something to check this out. This is very cool. Maria's got some awesome practices there. So definitely come and check out her website, which is healwhathurts.me. So healwhathurts.me. But I think you can also type in Maria Toso. She is just very good. So second half of our show, we're going to take your calls, one question per caller, and the number is 347-237-5339. Hit 1 on your keypad if you want to talk to us, and if you're in the chat room, you can text a question or text, and I'll get that too. So that's really simple. So starguidereadings@gmail.com is my email. Please check out Maria, healwhathurts.me, and you know, set up some stuff with her, because Maria has natural gifts. She was with me when I took training with Sonia Choquette at a sixth sensory workshop, and I just had the pleasure of meeting her, and it was so fun, and we're going to have to catch up. It's just been too long. I'm so excited to have her here, and I'm going to bring her on now. Welcome to the show, Maria. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much for the beautiful introduction. And yes, you don't need
to love meeting you.
Do all this online. This, you know, that's kind of the good thing that's come out of COVID, is that we've all figured out how we can still connect and learn from each other. And that's where a technology that can sometimes be a little overwhelming and distract us, this can also help us continue our work with each other.
Right. That's wonderful. I'm glad you figured out a way online. I always liked the in-person, but I love the in-person, you know, sixth sensory workshop we took together.
Yeah.
I mean, you already knew so much, and I had so many gifts already, and then meeting somebody like you, I thought, man, this is really cool. She's a, you know, you practice yoga, you have a peaceful mindset. You got into the Tibetan Buddhist stuff, and you just have this knowing, this knowledge that is really cool. And I'm sure you've been working really hard with your practice and coming up with this method. It looks amazing.
Thank you so much, Amanda. And yes, it takes one to know one, right? So we recognized each other as as spiritual pals, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We're like spiritual sisters. It was very cool to get together, and it's really cool having you on again. It's been a long time, so it's exciting. It's someone new for some of the people that listen in. So it's a great taste of new stuff and new practice and breathing and yoga and all these things that we can do to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah, and what I have recognized in the many years that I've worked with spirituality, well, in a way, it was the earliest message I got when I was 19. I just turned 50, so that's a long time ago. I started working with the Tibetan Buddhist methods for meditation, and a teacher once told me, he explained that in essence we are the divine light that gives animation to these bodies that we're in. And we come with these minds that are full of whatever we have experienced, all the memories, all the habits from lifetimes, and we end up experiencing our life through the lens of our minds. And he said that the reason why we meditate is really to clear the mind of all the deep imprints that we start to perceive the world through. So in other words, if we have a deep wound of sort, we tend to expect that and then almost have it become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So then we start experiencing life as more and more painful, but we fail to recognize our own, how we participate in creating that story, how that is at least in part
right.
our own story that's playing out in the outer world, and that we can't really come to any sort of peace unless we go deep inside, that a peaceful life is an inside job, if you will. It's not really about handing other people a manual for how they must treat us. It's going within and finding that source of light and divinity within, so that we don't rely on finding the validation and the sense of comfort from the outside. It's very nice to also have warm, loving relationships, but we don't want our whole world to crumble if someone fails to text us back or, you know, do what we think they ought to do to make us feel safe and loved. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so
I
that
do.
Has just become more and more in my work as a yoga teacher, trainer, and meditation trainer. It's my work has just gotten closer and closer to that as my sort of specialty, because it seems to be where people stumble. Like, we can do a lot of work with spirituality and all the tools that are available to human beings now that used to be only available to an exclusive group, you know, the things that used to only be available to people in ashrams and caves and convents and monasteries, and the peasants would toil away on the land. Now, at least in the Western world, we can walk into any Barnes & Noble store and find just a slew of New Age books that can reveal a lot of secrets about kind of the esoteric workings behind the scenes and how we can tap into that. And yet, even if we do all the positive thinking and the manifesting and the praying, if we have some deep beliefs that we're not worthy of love, then we tend to just manifest that story sooner or later, and then we get disappointed over and over. And there comes this time when we realize, wow, this isn't just random that I keep having this negative experience that feels hurtful, that it is a pattern in me. And what I found in working first and foremost with myself, but also with clients and students, is that they would come with these deep, painful, and often shameful stories of feeling rejected or feeling like they don't belong or they're not safe and loved in the world, which is essentially sort of the core of the pain in all human beings that I have had the privilege of getting to know in a real way. And then when you go in there and really inquire and bring your own divinity and presence to those knots within, then you can start to trace where that started and what story was almost like programmed into you when you were very young? And how can you start to recognize, wow, I'm playing out that story again. This person isn't texting me back or doing what I would need to feel loved. And now that story is rolling and I'm starting to feel all these things. And then people tend to do one of three things when that painful story starts up. They either want to lash out, make the other person act differently so we don't have to feel that thing, or we shut down and just kind of freeze and close off and pretty much close our hearts so we don't have to feel, or we use something in the outer world, a substance to numb, you know, sugar, alcohol, porn, shopping, I mean, you name it, anything that will help us not feel that pain of rejection that is our deepest fear. So this is sort of undoing that piece of us. Yeah?
That makes sense. That makes total sense. I love your philosophies on that and what you're talking about, because I totally am on the same page.
Yeah. And I do think that this way of looking at things is starting to kind of be out there in the world in different ways. But when I was first starting to look at the possibility of how my own thoughts took part in creating my reality, it seemed like a lot of teachers or teachings that I came upon would sort of stop at the level of thought and be like, okay, well, you just changed your thought. You're now identifying that you have a bad story, a thought, or a script, and it's playing out in a certain way. Well, let's just reprogram the script. Well, that didn't take into account that deep feeling of dread or contraction or anxiety within the body, that knot in the stomach, a lump in the throat, or contraction in the heart. It didn't really go in and hold that. And the way I started working with it, like I said, first and foremost in myself, but then started doing it, you know, on a professional scale with my clients, is that our capacity for presence, you know, like I'm present with you right now, you're present with me right now, that capacity to fully be present with another human being or with a pet or with a plant, that is when we become fully present in the now. That is our divinity. That is deep love and compassion, the essence of that. And that is where healing lies. And just as a kid, when we were deeply distraught and scared, the real healing would be to be held. I love you. I'm here. You're safe. I'm not going anywhere. That love and presence is what we needed. And most kids don't get that in an adequate way because we're all raised by wounded human beings who also didn't get that. So maybe you were stuck in front of a TV or given a pacifier or a lollipop or worse, you know, talked down to or even abused in some way. So then there's this void where the love and compassion should have filled us. Now we're kind of walking around with this void within, and we're trying to fill it by getting the love, the presence, the empathy, the compassion that we didn't get at a certain point when we were too young to understand that that did not mean we're not lovable. And then we would start seeking it kind of compulsively outside of ourselves, and short of finding that love and compassion and acceptance, we would instead numb out and not have to feel the longing and the pain of not having that. And what I'm offering is not that we no longer have relationships where we're in deep loving exchange, but that we find the way to bring that compassion, holding, loving, mothering, parenting, if you will, to ourselves. So like our divine selves swoops in, scoops up the most pained parts of ourselves, wraps them and swaddles them in deep love and holding. And that means really, really feeling it. And when we really, really feel these places, of course it's going to hurt for a moment, right? Because it's often a piece of us that's been shut down, shamed, pushed down for years, decades, the lifetimes, you know? And now it's like, no, I'm going to hold you. And my love is unconditional. It's never going to go anywhere. I'm with you forever. I'm sorry that I ever abandoned you and didn't have the capacity to be present, but now I understand. And what happens when we're with ourselves and with those samskaras is the word in yoga for these knots of energy that contract a frozen emotion. They start to melt like ice in the sunshine. And sometimes the melting means some tears, some grief, but they
right.
will melt and release. And then the next time that person does that thing, whether it's not texting you back or not showing you that you're important or that you're loved and that you matter, the next time it's like, okay, it still may hurt that he or she or they are not doing what we wish they would, but we swoop in, our own divine presence swoops in. It's like, it's okay, I'm here. No need to freak out, no need to numb
exactly.
out, no need to run away. And it just becomes a level of emotional holding, presence, and ultimately freedom, where we're not with other people out of, I can't survive without you, but out of, I choose to be in exchange with you because you're beautiful and you have so much to offer, and I have a lot to offer you. But if you're off for the day or whatever and you're doing your thing, my world will not crumble. Do you know what I mean?
That's absolutely true, and we shouldn't let it crumble. I mean, sometimes it can be, like you said, very difficult, and, you know, you didn't get that text back or you didn't get that, you know, whatever. But as you said, you don't let your day crumble just because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a gradual, you could say it's a gradual shift from identifying too much, if you will, with the wounded parts of ourselves and forgetting our higher self, our divinely connected, eternal, infinite self. And it's a return to being aligned with the spirit essence of who we are. And from that place, we can come in and bring love, divinity, wholeness to those wounded pieces in ourselves. So it's there's a practice to it. I offer an online course called Heal What Hurts, and it's an 8-step process where we gradually practice becoming more aware of our breath, because breath in yoga is equal to spirit. Breath and spirit is even the same word in some languages. So when we start to notice how we breathe, suddenly the mind already quiets down. We know that we're now part of something greater, right? We're not limited to just this individual contracted experience. Then we become more acquainted with the energy field of the body and what's really going on in the body. Yeah? The body is always responding to what's happening around us. And if we ignore the small ways in which the body is responding, it goes into reaction. Like if you can detect that first flutter of butterflies, and instead of ignoring it or, you know, having a cocktail so you don't have to feel it, instead you're like, I'm here. You know, I'm with you. I know you're a little nervous. I'm not going anywhere. Then we can start to be in communication with the body. I mean, and you know from you and I are both students of Sonia Chiquette and how often she talks about how the body is where the intuition lives and will give us those first signs of something being off or something being right. And if we're disconnected from the body, we're going to miss that subtle voice from the body. And then the body tends to, you can say, the wounded parts, they tend to go into overdrive, and then they kind of can take over, and we have a temper tantrum, and then we're ashamed of the temper tantrum. But we weren't listening when the voice was subtle, so it kind of had to go into, you know, temper tantrum mode, or didn't have to. I mean, ideally, we would never have to go into a temper tantrum, but you can start to have empathy for why we go there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when Sonia Chiquette was teaching us, she was talking about trusting your vibes and feeling it in your body, you know, like what you already practiced. But I found the class to be really interesting because she talked a lot about, you know, if you don't listen to those things like you were just saying, it'll get louder and louder and louder until you do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's exactly right. And there's like almost everything we do, Amanda, is designed for us to numb out, you know, to not feel ourselves. And as yogis and spiritual practitioners, we have to kind of counter all the temptations to give our power away to outer things. Like if only, and even in the spiritual world, it can be like you just buy more crystals or more essential oils and then you'll be happy. And you know me, I love essential oils and crystals.
Oh, I love crystals.
You
know, I just did that this weekend. It's like,
say,
I got more. But yeah.
Yeah, it can't replace the spiritual practice of deep, ultimately self-love, you know?
Right, exactly. Exactly, and I think, you know, some individuals who are intuitive, also they kind of indulge, some have in, like, numbing out the pain, like you said, with, you know, drugs or alcohol, you know, because they don't want to feel those things. They don't want to, you know, and that's what the yogis talk about is feeling stuff in your body.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think
so
that's important.
So there's so many ways to do this work. One could simply start taking time every day. I have a free meditation that I offer, and you and I could talk after the show about how I can make sure that your listeners get access to that, because that's just a beautiful, it's called the Heal What Hurts meditation, and it's a beautiful way to learn to be with yourself. It's sort of guiding you into the pain places. Sometimes I like to compare it to sort of the Marie Kondo of your own body. Like you just start scanning your own body for where is it that things are not flowing well? Where is the energy stagnant or stuck? And how can you unravel those places within yourself through deep loving holding? And the meditation really guides that. And I would say, if nothing else, simply doing that meditation. I put it on Insight Timer is one of the places where it's available, but the version that I've since recorded is a cleaner, slightly better version that I can send you and you can distribute if you like.
Nice.
But that,
I was thinking, how long of a meditation is it? Sorry to interrupt.
It's not long. That is about 20 minutes, but we could certainly do a mini version right now so that anyone listening could get a little taste of what that is.
That sounds like fun.
Do you want to try that?
I would love to. I bet the audience would like to try it too.
Well, I love that, and I love that you suggest that, because we can tend to just be very focused on information about cool things, but in reality it has to become a practice and an experience for it to really do anything real. You know, it has to get from the head into the body, if you will. So
exactly.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking, you know, that's great. We can do a mini version, and I was thinking, you know, sometime I should have you on again and we should play the meditation if I can put it on the radio. And then, you know, we can talk again. That would be cool. But I think a mini version would be absolutely great.
Okay. Well, so tell me how much time do I have? I'm not even sure about the length of our conversation here. So
you've got plenty of time. You've got at least an hour and something. So you've got plenty of time because it goes until...
Yeah, I actually have another meeting that I have to get on at noon my time. So...
We'll go through it and then
check
take
in
callers.
With the body, and then we can take questions and see if what experience people might have had from that. Does that sound okay?
Sounds wonderful. We'll
do
that.
Well, okay. So anyone listening, and Amanda, let's go ahead and close the eyes and start to pay attention to your breathing. Just notice what it feels like inside your nose when you breathe, the subtle stream of air in the nose. And you might even be able to hear the subtle sound of your breath inside your head when you breathe. And now very gently let your breath deepen. Bring the awareness into the lower belly and invite the breath into the lowest part of the belly, If you feel any tension in the belly, allow it to soften as best you can so the breath can come a little deeper into the body. And notice how the body starts to relax when the breathing slows down. And then while continuing to notice the breath, the rhythm, the sound, the feeling, bring awareness to the eyes, closed eyes. See if you can allow the little muscles around the eyes to relax. And let that feeling of soft eyes spread to the whole of the face. Release any tension around the forehead. Notice again the breath inside the nose. Let the cheeks and the lips relax deeply. Even the tongue, the lips, the chin, the jaw. And let the neck, the back of the neck, and the sides of the neck, and the throat all soften and release. And let every exhale be a sense of releasing tension that's hidden and stored in the body. So the breathing pattern starts to resemble the way we breathe when we're about to fall asleep, but we're staying alert. We're still paying attention. And now feel your hands. Notice the center of the palms. This is the heart chakra of the hands. And we all have the heart chakra available to stream through the palm of the hands. And you might be able to sense the energy here. The way the hands are able to heal and hold others. The compassion that lives in the hands. And feel the fingers and the fingertips. The back of the hands. Notice how alive the hands feel when you bring awareness into the hands. And now hold awareness in the hands as well as the breathing. And you'll notice that your mind has slowed down already just from this little momentary meditation. Now holding the awareness and the breath in the hands. Now also the feet. Feel the heels, the soles of the feet, tops of the feet. The tips of the toes, all 10 toes, and the ankles. Now hold that awareness in both hands and both feet. Feel how they tingle and buzz with pure, alive, present, chi, prana, spirit. Every tradition has a name for life itself. Energy that gives life. Now let that spread into the arms. Gradually allow the arms to become as illuminated. Feel into the forearms, the elbows, upper arms and shoulders. And now the lower legs, the knees, and the thighs. And see if you can hold that all together, both arms and hands, both legs and feet. And now let's move into the torso, and this is the really refined part of the energy field. Chakra system lives in here for the most part. We'll start by feeling the throat. And then feel the center of the chest, the breastbone, and the whole chest cavity. And now the solar plexus and stomach. The space below the belly button, the sacral area, and now the root, the lowest part of the pelvis, tailbone, and then the neck and the face and the head. So now you're more in your body, more present in the energy field. One definition of yoga from the ancient traditions is that yoga is to fully unite our spirit, our divinity, with our mortal vessel. And then the mortal vessel becomes illuminated with our spirit self. And we also notice where the little kinks are. So now zoom in on the torso, from the throat through the heart, the stomach, the lower abdomen, the lowest part of the pelvis. And notice here if there is a part of this section of your energy field that feels contracted, nervous, scared, angry, any kind of contracted energy sensation. And there may be more than one. And there may also be this temptation to not want to go to this sort of epicenter, the torso, and want to focus on something in the shoulders or hands or feet. See if you can zoom in on just the torso and scan here, be inwardly aware, and notice where you might have a knot in your energy field, somewhere contracted where energy just isn't flowing quite as well as it could. And when or if you locate such a place, bring one or both of your beautifully alive healing hands to that spot. Just lay it right over the top of it and greet it. Just like you would a small child that has now let you know that the child is a little scared. So greet it with that level of compassion. I'm here. I love you. I understand that you don't feel well, and I want to know what's up. I want to hear you. I want to understand you. Simply be with that part of yourself. And continue the deep mindful breathing. So you're still very connected to your spirit self. You're not sort of drowning in this wounded fragment of yourself, which is really a relatively small piece of who you are, and yet an important piece that deserves love. And now ask the question, what's up? What are you feeling? And sometimes these pieces of ourself is, you know, can really talk, put words on it. And other times, especially if this part of ourself or these parts have been shut down for a long time, they may not know how to describe what's up. They may just need to be held. See if you can just notice as much as possible about this place. Is it big or small, diffuse or a distinct area? Is there a color or shape to this energy? Now, what makes this place contract more? See if you can bring to mind the last time this knot or some scar got triggered. Is there a specific situation or a typical situation that would make this flare up? Allow yourself to be real about what that is, who that is. And that may be something recent. So we're going to just scan back a little bit further just to see notice, ask yourself, is this a feeling that's actually older than this run-in or this situation with that person? Is this a feeling that has been within the energy field of the body for a long time? When is the first time you remember feeling this feeling? Just allow any images or memories to arise. Go back as far as you can. When is the first time you remember this feeling? Keep breathing. Keep noticing the whole of the body even as you hold this little place. And as you observe, possibly, something much older, what do you want to say to this younger version of you that had this feeling? And say this with great sincerity. You can say it out loud if you're in a position to speak out loud, or you can mentally, inwardly say something like, I'm here, I love you, I'm so sorry you got scared. I'm so sorry you didn't feel like you belonged. I'm sorry you didn't feel safe. I'm here. I love you. I'm here. I got you. I will never leave you again, no matter what. I'm right here. Notice if that energetic spot is relaxing at all or taking this in. I know it's been a very long time, and I may have to come back many times and let you know how much I love you and how much I'm here for you. But this is the beginning. I'm here. Now tune in again to this energy knot in the body. Just notice how or if this little part of you is responding to your words, to your presence. And now you might even fast forward to the more present day incident, the more recent time that this part was triggered. And just see if the reaction is the same or if it's a little less scared. If this part of you now knows it's not all alone in the world. The scared, lonely piece has the most powerful ally that one could ever have, love, compassion, and presence, straight from source. Continue to breathe really deeply. And know that if this place within you has been, shall we say, abandoned for a while, it might initially feel like the intensity of the uncomfortable feeling is kind of amplified by doing this work, but it's really just that it's finally being given a chance to express its pain. But the healing has begun. The moment you declared, I'm here and I love you and I'm not going anywhere, you will never be abandoned and alone ever again. This is my promise to you, because I love you, I'm here, and you got me and I got you. And now, because we are doing a mini version, we're going to come back into the whole energy field of the body. So disperse your awareness now back into the limbs. Remember what it was like to feel the hands, the feet, the arms and the legs, and the torso, the neck and the face and the head. Notice if there's any tension that has crept in. And breathe deeply to release Let the energy field be open and illuminated. And then open the eyes. Look around the room. Name a few things that you see to really ground yourself into this moment, this time, this space. And then I would love to hear how you experience this little mini meditation. So if anybody wants to share, I'd love to hear.
Awesome.
How about your man?
That was very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would love to hear while they have their questions, you know, if they've got, you know, something to share about how wonderful of an experience that was. That was really good. I really enjoyed, you know, everything that we did and looked at. It was really fun. So do you want to take a quick break and then come and take callers since you just did some really deep
meditation? You know, since I have to be on a new call at a noon, I would have to be right now, and then I actually have to run in about 10 minutes.
Okay, so let's just go into callers now then.
Mm-hmm.
We have about six. I think we can hop through them pretty quick just so I have to have their question and their experience ready. Okay, we're going to go to area code 310. You're on the line with Amanda and Maria. How can we help you today?
Yes, hello. My name is Susan. And
I am
wondering if you have any insight as far as my job goes.
So I would need you to ask me a question about it. I don't really work in that way as a traditional psychic who's just going to immediately tell you what to do. I would want you to activate your inner knowing. So let's talk for a second about what's going on there. What's not feeling right?
It's just weird because I started this job, during the COVID. So, and we've been primarily homebound for most of it. So I haven't actually had like the real work experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious if you see it getting better or improving, I guess.
Well, let's do this together because I'm sensing some loneliness and isolation, but I would much rather have you go into your own body, Susan, for a moment and just feel what it's like to be doing this work. And if you, rather than just sort of tell me what you do, that's less interesting than how does your body experience it? If you think of yourself being busy doing this work, how does your body feel? When you just did this meditation, what acted up or didn't feel right?
It's just kind of wearing me out, I guess, because I don't really feel like I'm, you know, in a space that I'm feeling productive, I guess.
Yeah, and what it feels like to me is that there is not enough exchange and inspiration that it feels like you have to kind of conjure it up over and over out of your own kind of void, that you're someone who needs more interaction and inspiration. So I would say that's also a matter of honoring what you need. What you need to feel inspired might be to be more in a team player and less of a lone wolf, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
So my sense is that it's sort of like this job has created itself out of the circumstances, and unless you do something, it's not going to shift that much. So you have to get very clear within yourself of what is it that you need to be productive and be inspired, because you can't continue to be productive just by, you know, just sort of having another cup of coffee and keep going. It has to come from a place of true enthusiasm of the spirit. And if the spirit is not inspired, then you're sort of left to create it out of your own brain. And there's just very limited creativity coming from that place, if you will. So what kind of a shift could you make to have this become a collaboration and not so much of a dry lone wolf kind of situation?
I'm so sorry. I just got another call from work and I got distracted.
Okay, that's okay. Why don't you tend to that? And I would
just
say you need to create what you want for yourself, and this is not it.
Okay. I will. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, this is Siobhan.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't know where Amanda is, actually.
I don't know either. Did you do the meditation with us?
Oh, goodness. Hi, I am here. It muted me out.
Hi.
So I was gone for a
okay.
second there. Hi, welcome online. I said your number, but the technology muted me out. Fun. So, hi, Siobhan.
Hi, hello. Hi, and I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name because I came in a little late, but I just started with the meditation, so I apologize for that.
No worries. My name is Maria Toso, and
Maria,
I'd love
okay.
to hear how you experienced the meditation.
So, Maria, I experienced meditation by going into my body because I'm in a situation where I'm taking care of an elderly parent who has dementia and is getting very abusive, unfortunately, at certain times.
Mm.
And when I did meditation, I am a healer. I went in and my waistline told me, can you please stop drugging us and start just coming
Aww.
And grounding and paying attention to us, like stop eating chocolate
Aww.
And pee.
Yeah,
so
there you go. You got it.
Yeah, so that was what I did. So I promised that I would come back to my body when I experienced this and ground myself and give myself a few minutes. And then I actually heard my waistline say, we'll work with you. You lose weight faster. We'll take care of your upset, you know, track.
Mm-hmm.
I have digestion problems. And, yeah. And so, but it just said, yeah, we're annoyed you haven't noticed us in a long time. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Well, I definitely want you to, and I'm going to have Amanda distribute this Heal What Hurts meditation. That's essentially the meditation we just did, but it's a little bit longer. And I would just say do that daily for a little while. I think that would be incredibly helpful. And you got it. I mean, you were able to establish that communication. For many people, that's not as simple as that. If the body has been numbed out and sugared out and what have you for a long time, it can be hard to get a real, you know, articulation of what needs to happen. So you just keep that line of communication open. And I'm guessing the abuse that you're sort of experiencing right now, it may just be an exasperation of what has maybe happened for a lot longer that needs to be healed within.
Right, yes. This is something that's happened to me my whole life. So they were like, you know, it's been like whatever, my digestive tract, my waistline talked to me, which I thought was so funny.
Yeah.
It's like after
they may all be telling you to draw some lines in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, it said, you know, you forgot about it after you got your gallbladder out. I was 29 years old when that happened, so I started laughing. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I am present, and I will be present every day. And then I thought, it couldn't be that easy, and then I realized, oh, it really is that easy. It really is that easy to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you, Marie. And I can't wait to get the full meditation.
Cool. I'm very happy to hear that. That's really good news.
Everybody have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Blessings. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go to area code 551. You're on with Amanda and Maria. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How can we help you?
I'm pretty good. I'm just, is anything that you pick up energetically from me, seriously, any guidance? I am open to taking.
So, Amanda, you may work this way. I work by having people enter into the body and establish the communications. That's kind of my spiel. So if you want to take this one, you certainly can.
Well, the only thing I'm getting is your energy is very good. You should go into your body more and listen to it. Yeah, I think it's just a message that you're giving out that's really coming through. For you, you know, at least from spirit, you know, like listen to your body. I mean, Maria has a really good message, and I think it is important to feel your stuff in your body and recognize what they're telling you and all the above, but that's like what they're saying to you. Keep doing that. So I don't know if you have anything more to kind of talk to Maria about, but that's a start, is to feel in your body and do the meditation, which I'm sure you did. And I'm sure you had a great experience, too.
Yes, I did. I did. Thank you for that. I was just in this place, I guess, where I'm making some decisions. So the meditation is definitely helpful. far as clarity and having that clarity, I'm more clear about which way I want to go. So,
And that's the real tool that I think we're teaching here, is the tool that your intuitive voice is within you at all times. And even though I work more as a classic psychic when I was younger, I've kind of stopped just handing people my insight because I think that's almost like disabling another person from having that access to their own voice. And if you think of your decision and you go inside your body, you will likely get a very clear sense of, no, this makes me contract, or this makes me more expansive, or it can also be, this makes me a little nervous, but it's sort of like I need to step out of my comfort zone, you know, and a lot of women right now are stepping out of their comfort zone. They've sort of been holding back and been more in a position of waiting on other people or taking care of other people and standing in their own power in a fuller way. Is kind of what a lot of women are being invited to do right now. So that trepidation, you don't want to mistake that for a no, you know. So a mild tremble, that sort of excitement mixed with a little bit of anxiety, that can actually be an invitation to say, I need to step in and be my full self, and I'm done kind of holding back and only living half my life and only bringing half my power to the table. So that's kind of the energy that I'm getting from you, that it's not giving up your femininity, but it's stepping into some of your assertiveness that you have kept dormant and that doesn't want to be dormant anymore. It wants to come into expression and wants to take charge and it wants to lead and guide in a way that, you know, the world needs.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. And that's exactly what I was going through. The exact words and feelings of the anxiety about this move, but then I decided to just step in my truth and really fully go after what I want instead of like letting the fear and nervousness stop me.
Well, then you kind of know, right? And I think that's really important to recognize when are we just running into old fears, old patterns, maybe even genetic coding, that, you know, if our moms didn't quite step into their power and their moms didn't step into their power and their moms didn't step into their power for very good reason, maybe each generation of women have to step one step further into their power.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like your turn, you know, so that your daughter can do it even more.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it, guys.
Cool. All righty. Thank you.
All right. Please.
Thank you. Blessings. Okay, we're going to go to area code 612. You're on the line with Amanda and Maria. How are you, 612? Okay, I guess 612 isn't there.
Okay, Amanda,
we're gonna you ready to go?
And I gotta go. I am so sorry. I thought it was an hour. That's what I blocked off. But let's do this sometime again.
No, it's okay. We will again.
And
no, it's okay. Noon is perfect. We got through all of these except for like one or two, so that's no biggie. That's no big deal.
Cool.
You know, they can either schedule or, you know, we'll rebook you again. Thank you so much for coming on.
Sending you love, and I'll send you that meditation to distribute to any of your listeners that want it.
All right, you've been listening to WGGM Radio. My guest was Maria Toso. We'll see you again next Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time with Julie Severin. Have a great day, everybody.